visit and speaker that morning talked about God's power, or indeed lack of it, or a misunderstanding of it. And if we don't use it, then he linked that to becoming Christians who he called submarine Christians. Do you remember that? Submarine Christians. And by that he meant Christians who Monday to Saturday, you can't see. They're hidden Monday to Saturday. And they only surface on a Sunday when they come to church. Submarine Christians. I was challenged by that message. And I began to ask myself, do we really know about God's power? Do we just take it for granted, or do we even dismiss it? Am I a submarine Christian? Is the church generally submarine in its nature? I asked myself all of those questions. And I want us to just sort of have a look at that this morning and unpack it a little bit. Are we uncertain about what all of that means, really? There's lots of scripture we could use, and the gentleman on that morning certainly used a lot of scripture. But the portion I want to just read here is from Romans 8. It says, "You," that's those who know Christ, "you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to him." There's an extra dimension. We can live in the flesh and we can live in the Spirit, but we need to understand who indeed we are. Living in the Spirit is to live in God's power. And that God's power is the sort of power that lives with every born-again believer. It energizes his or her life, energizes his or her ministry. It's not the sort of thing that we can touch. It's not the sort of thing that we can put in a bottle. It's not that sort of thing. But it's the very energy of God himself. That's an unbelievable statement, that the very energy of God himself lives within you and I, if we know Jesus. That's quite astonishing. I wonder if we truly do really believe that. It's a supernatural energy that emanates from God's very essence, the very energy of God himself. It means that all of God's power, all of his strength, now resides in you and I. Amazing. His Holy Spirit has taken up residence in you and I. That's really great news, wonderful news, almost unbelievable news. For the essence of God living in you and I. Matthew 16 says, and this is Jesus speaking, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." We could talk for weeks about God's power. In fact, it would be never ending. But I want us this morning to look at three areas which I was certainly struck by. Three areas where his power makes a difference. And firstly, I want to go back to the early Christians. I want to go back to the first disciples, the very beginning of the Christian faith. You know, when those disciples came down from the upper room, they were faced with an impossible task. They were charged to announce that this Jesus, who had been crucified as a criminal, was in fact the Son of God. You think you might have a very difficult job description, perhaps, where you are. Can you imagine their job description? This criminal who had been nailed to a cross to get the people to believe that he was in fact the Son of God. To persuade people that Jesus, so humiliated in his death, that he rose again on the third day. They were also to declare that this Jesus had risen. And not only was he risen, but that he would come again at some future date. And it says that many wonders and signs were done in these days. You see, left to itself, the church would have died. Like many, many, many cults that arose at that time and still arise, the church, if it had been left to itself, would in fact have died. The fact that it didn't was because of the miraculous element that were within it. That's why it didn't die. Timid men became fearless. And as a result, the world was never to be the same again. And that element that was in that early church was supplied by the Holy Spirit. It was power. So we have to conclude that the church is not just a mere organization. Not just an organization like any other organization. But that it is a living embodiment of power. 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 You know, all too often in our postmodern society, we are often cowed. I think we Christians are cowed by that society and saying that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Postmodern society says, well, whatever truth you have and whatever truth you have and whatever truth I have, it's all true if it's for you. But there's no such thing as absolute truth. And we Christians can never buy into that. If we believe in a God who lives in and through his Son Jesus, and that Jesus promises to come and live with us, we can't compromise on that. That is an absolute truth for us. And we need to be able, as God's people, to stand in our own strength, but also in his power. You know, if the church today is feeble, if the church today is lacking in zeal, if it feels beleaguered, it's because we have bought into that lie that there's no absolute truth, that we each of us can have our own individual truth. So we can have the appearance of being religious. We can emerge on Sundays and come to our churches. We can have the appearance of being religious. We can have the appearance of being churchgoers, but still deny the power that is within us. Remember, his power is greater than our problems.